Open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 9 in the King James says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we continue in this series about putting first things first, that you open our eyes to acknowledge you, that you are first and foremost in our life, that we put you first in everything, that you, Father God, are not something that we just have as an afterthought or come after we've tried everything ourselves. We thank you, Father, we can recognize our own weakness and our own flesh, our own self-awareness, our own self-dependence, and we instead depend upon you. We lean hard on you instead. We ask you to open the eyes of our understanding that we can recognize the truth of the gospel that we're going to hear this morning, that it will expose and deal and confront every tradition and doctrine, any error that we might hold on to, any mistakes that we might have made there under the blood, any confusion we might have, it'll be straightened out. We thank you for the wisdom and the truth that only your Spirit and your Word can provide. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name, and everyone agreed said, amen. You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, we've been talking about first things first, and this is where I wanted to get to with some of these messages about the first fruits. So we've talked about first things first, having a clean slate, fresh start. We've looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 in the Message translation. We've talked about Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. In fact, let me read that one again to you in the Living Bible. "So don't worry at all about having enough food and clothing. Why be like the heathen? For they take pride in all these things and are deeply concerned about them. But your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them, and he will give them to you if..." We've focused on that little word "if" a number of times here. "If you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to." So as we've pointed out, that little word "if," it means that there's a condition. There's something, our response to his promise. There's something about that conditional "if." All the benefits of the kingdom are there. All the conditions are there. But we have to do something to acknowledge that. We are involved in the process. They don't just automatically show up. If that's true, then everyone in the world would be blessed. Everyone would be saved. Everyone would be hunky-dory, be happy, happy, happy. I don't know about you, but the world doesn't look like that, especially right now. When we look at these things, we want to make God our priority. In fact, last week I spent the whole message talking about TGIF, today God is first. Now we have a lot of other TGIF acronyms and abbreviations that we talked about, kind of joked about. But we want to make sure that God is first. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto us. And I actually used again the illustration last week, and I'll just remind everybody about it. I use the illustration in Philippians about press toward the mark for the prize. And sometimes what we do is we get confused, say, and I use the illustration of healing most of the time when I use that illustration and teach out of that particular passage. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize. The prize is healing. That's what we really need, is the prize. We want that prize. We're looking for our healing. But I need to press toward the mark. Who's the mark? Jesus. I need to press towards the healer to get the healing. And I've used the illustration of sitting at the state fair, going out to the, you know, the, excuse me, out into the midway, and going to the little booth where the little ducks are going by, and you get your little pop gun, and all the things are going by, and you get to shoot at them. And, you know, you got that big old stuff, whatever your favorite thing is. You might be that big pink panther thing, or that big bunny, whatever it might be. What do you want to? That's what your prize is. You go, "Oh man, I want to win that and bring that home to my girlfriend." Some guys are snickering. Huh? Now, when I did that, when I was a little kid, I wanted the prize because they had the pirate sword and the little hat and the patch. I wanted all that stuff. So you're sitting there, you just keep spending money shooting those little things going by. Now see, this problem, most people take, they want that stuff, they want the big stuffed animals, well they take their gun and they shoot the animal. They press toward the prize instead of the mark. Let's press towards God. Let's put God first. Let's have Him the priority of our life. When we put Him first, all these other things, health, prosperity, peace, all the other things that we have need of in our life. And he talks about the basics, food, clothing, someplace to stay, shelter. He says, God knows you have need of those things. And he says, you seek me if you will put your heart in the direction of seeking me. If you press toward me, he says, I'll make sure that you find those things. The problem is so often we're just caught up in life and caught up in our needs. We forget him. He comes last. Or we try everything we know how to try. And then finally we go, God, you got to bail me out. God, can you help me? You finally get around to praying. Or finally get around to asking someone else to pray because you still don't even feel like you can pray. God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to come to him first. God wants us to be able to come and sit down with him and pour out our heart to him and talk to him because as we just sang, he is Emmanuel, God with us right now in the midst of whatever we're going through. He's there. So Proverbs chapter 3 again. Honor the Lord with thy substance. The New King James, let's read that. Honor the Lord with your what? Possessions. That's a little clearer to us. And with the first fruits of all your increase. Well, as we were looking at last week, if I'm going to put God first instead of money, I'm going to have a right perspective or balance about giving and honoring the Lord. And when I'm blessed with something, it's easy for me to honor him because I love him and because he's done so much for me and I'm so aware of him. We talked about Matthew 22, 33 through 40 last week where he was tested and asked about what's the great commandment. He says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength. So loving God first before money. Then we also looked at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. Where is your treasure? Because wherever you put your treasure, that's where your heart will follow. He says you can't love God and mammon. Who do you put first? God. Honor the Lord. When? First. That's why it's called first fruits. Everyone say first fruits. You know, sometimes people get nervous. You start talking about tithes and offerings. Let's just take that word tithe for a second and put it aside as if it doesn't exist. Let's just use the biblical term that God uses throughout the Old Testament, and he calls it first fruits. He will bring in that other word that gets people nervous because all of a sudden you start talking about percentages and amounts, and then there seems like there's more of a requirement on me. But when we say first fruits, that's kind of more distant from it. We don't really understand that. We're not in an agricultural type of society, so we're not out there bringing in, you know, 1,000 bushels of corn, and he says, bring to me the best, the first fruits. Honor me with it. God's just asking us to honor him, acknowledging him. Sean exhorted us earlier about how awesome God is, to stand in reverence of him. Honor the Lord with your substance, with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. Let's read the Amplified version of that, starting in verse 9. Proverbs 3, verse 9, the Amplified. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors, and with the first fruits of all your income. Now that says income instead of increase. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. The wine is the result or the byproduct of those grapes and of that harvest and of those labors that you have done. That's the fruit of your labor. You know, some people just say, hey, all right, bring on the new wine. Well, have you honored the Lord? Let's get back to the basics of all the things that you have to do before you ever get to that wine bottle, so to speak. Before you ever get to that fruit, that byproduct of our labor. He says, you honor the Lord with your capital, with your sufficiency, with your substance, with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, of all your income. And if you give him first place, the command and the promise goes into action here, and we will see something happen. Then, if you do that, then your storage places will be what? Filled. Now, I don't know about you, but I like it when my checking account's filled. Huh? I like it when my refrigerator's filled. Because Mary and I have gone through times when our refrigerator, you could talk it, you open the door, and it echoes in there. You ever done that? Open, hello, 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 hello. We're hungry, 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 hungry. What's for dinner, 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 dinner? Huh? Been there. I like rather to open it up and I don't have any more room to put the new stuff in. Honey, we better eat a lot. Gotta make room for the new stuff. Eat up those leftovers. Huh? He says, I'm going to fill your storage places, your cupboards, your refrigerator, your freezer. I'm so blessed, I actually have a freezer in my basement now. There's more frost than anything else in there right now, so I'm not quite there yet. But he says, I'm going to fill up your storage places with plenty. Your vats are going to overflow. He says, you do this, and I'll make sure this happens as a result. If you put me first place, if you honor me first before anything else, he says, I will command a blessing upon you. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you read through the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, you have the first few chapters, verses that talks about all the blessing that God will pour upon his people, upon the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy 28 is so powerful, that first part, portion of it. Everyone loves the first part of it. No one ever wants to read the rest of the chapter. Because all of a sudden it starts talking about all the things that will come on you if you don't do that. Now, aren't you glad you're not under the curse of the law anymore? But I'm going to tell you this. People say, thank God I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. That's true. But you're still under the blessing. The blessing is still ours when we go to that side of obedience and believe God and trust him and honor him. The blessing's still there. Now, the curse is still actually still in, in operation. If we fail on our own part to live up to those things that we know to do, we violate certain natural laws. It's the law of sowing and reaping. People say, oh, well, God did that to them. Well, not really. God set laws in motion. And if we violate those certain laws, if you spend more than you make, what is that called? You're going to create debt, aren't you? I guarantee you, if you run around on the roof of your house without any kind of safety or awareness of it, you could fall off. And guess what? Gravity works. It's a law. And there's a law of sowing and reaping. There's a law of prosperity. There's a law of stewardship. There's a law involved here that is carried over throughout from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It's there, and we have to cooperate with these spiritual laws. And he says, listen, this is verse 8 in the Amplified, Deuteronomy 28, verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse. You know, years ago, I never had a savings account. And when I got saved and we started looking at this, and I realized I need to get a savings account because that's my storehouse. Now, sometimes I put money in the storehouse and thank God it's there, because then the very next week you need to go take it back out. But the storehouse is there, and he says, I'll command a blessing upon, but you got to have a storehouse to start with. Might be a piggy bank for you. I don't know. I got a coffee cup sitting in my cupboard, in my closet, and all the change I go in, you're blessed. Come on now. Every now and then you take it in, you realize, wow, I got $28 in there. I can take my wife out to for, you know, one of those blessed burgers that Sean was talking about. God will command the blessing upon you in your storehouse. Now listen to this. And in all that you undertake. Whatever you set your hand to, God says, I'll bless that when you honor me. It says, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now that might be your job, that might be where you live, that might be whatever your domain or your realm of influence is, but verse 9 says this, the Lord will establish you as a people holy, underline the word holy if you've got your amplified version there, holy unto himself as he has sworn to you. If, oh rats, here's that word again. You mean all that's conditional? I thought God was in control and just going to take care of it. You mean the commanding, the blessing, the storehouse, everything I undertake, he's going to bless me, he will establish me, I'm holy unto him, everything that he said he'd do, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in all his ways. You know, people who don't honor the Lord, people who don't and get involved in God's process of blessing, and then they can't figure out why things aren't working out. And one of the things that I know for Mary and I, when we made that hard decision, and I struggled with this many, 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 many years ago. We were going through some financial stuff, and then I just got a hold of this principle of tithing, and I was one of those guys that resisted, and I said, well, you know, tithing, that's Old Testament, so that's under the law, so I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, so I'm redeemed from tithing. I know none of you were ever foolish enough to think that, but I did. And so then you start reading the Bible, and you realize tithing started hundreds of years before the law ever came around. And has nothing to do with being redeemed from tithing. Tithing is just honoring the Lord, period. I mean, there's some that go all the way back to say, even in the garden, when God said to Adam and Eve, you can have all of this, I created this all, you can partake of everything that I've created, this is all of my creation, I'm going to invite you in to be part of it, but see, this part over here, that's reserved for me. That one particular tree, that's mine. That's holy. Keep your hands off of it. Because if you do, you shall surely die. In other words, there's going to be consequences if you do. What did they do? They messed around with that part that God said, you can mess around with all that you want. In fact, you're in charge of all. I'm giving you stewardship responsibility over all of this. You know, Adam and Eve weren't the owners of the Garden of Eden. They were stewards. Everyone say stewardship. This is about stewardship, not ownership. And when they took stewardship over all the rest of the garden, that was wonderful. But that one part, he said, I want you just to tend it. Just, that's mine though. Honor that part. And he took that all the way through the rest of the Bible. People fight with this because when we start talking about money, all of a sudden people get, they clench up. So I'm just going to talk about first fruits. I'm going to use that term because it seems to be less confrontational, less real to us sometimes, but yet that's the term used over and over and over in the scriptures. He says, I want you to honor me with your first fruits. The first fruits of all your increase. Those things that you produce, those things that come as the work or the labor of your hand, of your industry, of your whatever it is that you've put your hand to. However that works out, we need to treat it and honor him with it. Because he says, I'll establish you as my holy people. Now, we've shared this before here just recently. But let's look at how the first fruits, God calls it holy. I'm just going to go through a number of scriptures. Don't even try to keep up with me because I'm just going to quote some here. But Exodus 23 talks about the first of the first fruits of your harvest or your increase shall be brought into the house of the Lord. The first of the first fruits of your increase, of your harvest, of whatever it is that you put your hand to. It says the first of the first fruits. That's the best of the first fruits, some translations say. It says, where do you bring it? Into the house of the Lord. It shall be brought, is actually the way it is termed, shall be brought where? Into where God wants to receive it. Leviticus 23 also says, the priest shall present those first fruits as an offering before the Lord, and it shall be holy unto the Lord. Then you go to Numbers 28 and says, and on the day of first fruits, when you bring your offering before the Lord, you shall gather in holy worship before the Lord. So we've got Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 26. And when you shall come into the land that the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance and taken possession of it and settle down there, then you shall take the first of the first fruits of your harvest or your increase and put it in a basket and place it before the Lord in the holy sanctuary where God has chosen to establish his name and the dwelling place of his presence and where he has chosen to abide and be worshipped. So you take Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I just picked one out of each book just for simplicity. Every single one says the first of the first fruits, the best of the first fruits, the best of your harvest or of your increase. This is, they brought it into the house of the Lord. They gave it to the priest who then presented those first fruits as an offering before the Lord. It was holy unto the Lord. Those first fruits, the one they brought before them, put into a basket, they gathered for holy worship. It was brought before the Lord in a holy sanctuary. Notice all the terms. And you bring all that over to the New Testament church because everyone say types and shadows. Types and shadows throughout the Old Testament were always things that said, now these things I want you to teach you so that by the time you get to the real truth of the New Testament, you'll understand why you're doing it. This is all just practice. You know, many of us as kids, we go through the practice of doing things, whether it's, how many of you love geometry in school? Some of you need prayer. No, I enjoyed geometry. What I didn't like was trigonometry. We lost those hands there. I didn't mind geometry. In fact, I didn't mind geometry as long as I didn't have to do algebra. That doesn't work. But I had problems with it. I could understand shapes and dimensions. I could sit and figure it out with all those stupid formulas. But the teacher always wanted me to do all the formula out. And I said, I don't want to do the formula. I can just tell you what it is. Doesn't work that way. See, when we look at how God wants us to do certain things, he has a certain plan. He has a certain formula. He has a certain way in which laws work. And in every single one of those types and shadows, as a child, we learn these things. We learn the functions. We learn our ABCs. We learn I don't know if the kids learn this anymore. We were talking to our grandkids the other day, and they were saying in their school, they no longer teach cursive. And I said, that's crazy. How do you sign a check? They said, well, we don't have checks, so we have check cards now. One of them actually said, it's really hard to read it. Someone wrote, he says, my great-grandma wrote something to him. He says, I didn't really know how to read her writing. That's sad. Well, everything's on a keyboard now. Well, you're losing some basic principles. There are basic principles that the Old Testament lays out as types and shadows and says, when you learn these basics, you know, we had to learn our multiplication tables. They drilled them into us. They drilled them into us. They drilled them into us. I mean, spot tests, spot quizzes. What's 9 times 9? Ugh. See, anybody a certain age, you know what I'm talking about. Our teachers got on us all the time. And now they say, what's 9 times 9? And the kid pulls out his calculator. The type and the shadow of these things says, this is where I want you to know this truth. And so in every one of these pictures of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, every single one of them, the first of the first fruits are brought into the house of the Lord. We present them before the Lord. They are an offering that is holy unto the Lord. The priest takes them. They are received and they put into a basket. They are brought into the holy sanctuary. It is part as we gather for holy worship. Holy, holy, holy cow. Did you catch that? It's holy. That means it's not ours. Now, I've shared this before. Nowhere in the New Testament or Old Testament, but in New Testament specifically, is what we would consider Passover or the Lord's Supper or communion actually called holy. Now, you open up any Bible and it's called what? Holy Communion. But in all reality, that isn't necessarily biblically termed that way. And yet we treat it holy because we know it is. Not taking away from that, we believe it's holy. It is sanctified. It is set apart. It is something God said is important to remember this, to do this in remembrance of Him. We do this every week on Wednesday nights at the end of our service. We try to have communion together. It's important. It's part of the focus four from Acts 2:42. We believe that is important for the church to be doing. It's holy. And so what we have to do is, and sometimes we've made mistakes, and then sometimes we just quick receive an offering. We do the offering. We just kind of, you know, people talk about, okay, now it's offering time. And then they start looking at their phones, and they start getting up and going to the bathroom. Would you do that while in the middle of communion? No. It's because we have a different perspective. We hold it in a different reverence. We hold it different in our heart. We acknowledge it as different. When we give, when we honor the Lord with our first fruits, with our substance, with our increase, when we put Him first, today God is first in every area of life. Say every area. In every area of life, then what we're doing is we're acknowledging Him as first. And that's all He's asking. Bring the first fruits. Keep me first. Everything that you labor, bring it to me first. Because if you bring it to me first, I'll be involved with all the rest. If you don't bring it to me first and you bring me the last, He says, you give me the leftovers. I haven't had a chance to get involved with the rest. And you wonder why I didn't go very far. You wonder why I didn't produce. Because you took care of it and I didn't have a chance to get involved with it. And boy, I used to make that mistake. I was one of those guys, sadly, that by the time I got paid on Friday, we'd already gone out Thursday night and spent half of it. Hey, I'll get paid tomorrow. Let's go out and eat. And let's buy this. And let's get that. And then by the time Friday comes, half my paycheck's gone. And then the bills start showing up. And then Sunday is, then you got to go to church and, oh gee, I don't have any money left over for the tithe. But it's amazing how I always had money to go out to lunch afterwards. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm stepping on some toes there. I've been there. I'm confessing my fault. And I have to be honest, it was not until God dealt with me and got me serious that He is number one, that He is first in my life. And without Him, I am in trouble. First fruits, honor the Lord. I couldn't give you all the scriptures in one service that refer to this. There are so many. I just picked one out of every major book there in the Pentateuch to say to you that He calls this first fruits. And there's something about honoring Him. And it's the first of the first fruits. The best of the first fruits. Nothing blemished. Nothing left over. Nothing. You know, we were talking with some people the other day about why is it that people, they're going to buy a new refrigerator and they take their old one to the church. Do you think the church needs an old refrigerator? The one that's worn out that you don't want anymore? And yet people do that. The church could probably use it. How about next time you buy a new refrigerator, buy a new one for the church too? Huh? Once in a while they have a twofer. See, it's all of our approach. It's all of our perspective. It's all of our attitude about what is God's and how we honor Him with all that we have and all that we are, all that we possess, all that we produce, all of our increase, all of our income, whatever verse you want to take, it's there, 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 there. And it's always the same thing. Let me give you a prophetic voice talking about first fruits. In Ezekiel 48, it says this, "And you shall not even sell any part of the first fruits of the land, or exchange it or trade it, or allow it to be used by others. For it belongs to the Lord. It has been set apart, and it is holy unto the Lord, and has been offered only unto Him. Ooh. That's what he's talking about with the land that God gave to His people. The land that He said, this is reserved to honor me. Don't let somebody else use it. Don't trade it away, and we've done that. Don't exchange it. Don't allow it to be used for something else or by someone else. You know, we don't even think twice about the fact that when, you know, sometimes you get a paycheck and say, well, I know I made more than that. And then you start reading all the little boxes. And you realize, how did this initial amount that I started with end up way over here? They just keep adding boxes. First it was state income tax. Then it was federal income tax. Then it was Social Security. And now it's going to be medical stuff. And then it's going to be this. And then it's going to be that. And pretty soon you've got so many little boxes. And by the time you got something left over for yourself, you're going, I need another job. Why? Because everyone's taken their slice of the pie. Did you notice that God didn't put one of those boxes in there yet? Because He doesn't take it from you. He asks you, Exodus, it shall be brought to the house. Leviticus, it shall be presented. Numbers, you shall bring your offering as a holy thing of worship. Deuteronomy, you shall place it in a basket before the Lord. It is holy in the sanctuary. Our willful determination and decision to honor Him isn't forced on us. We give it voluntarily. And when we give it voluntarily, He says, I will be involved with everything else in your life. If, He says, if you give me first place in your life, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things shall be added unto you. What? He will give them to you if you give Him first place in your life. Back to Matthew 6:33. And many times we think we're giving Him first place. We think we're doing that. And yet sometimes in the midst of what we're doing, we realize, it just didn't happen that way. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Because this is one of those places in the Amplified specifically where he puts the word first fruits and actually ties it together with the word tithe. He makes the connection for us so that we can't get away from the fact that every time he's talking about first fruits, he's talking about that certain percentage, that certain part that is that best part, that first of the first part that we are to honor him with. And as the law was given, and as other things progressed through to the New Testament, that term had become tithes, offerings, or dedicated things, or designations as we would call it today. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 5, I'm going to read the Amplified to you. As soon as the command went abroad, the Israelites gave in abundance the first fruits. Everyone say the first fruits. It says they gave in abundance. They weren't skimpy. They weren't cheap. They weren't trying to figure out how to hold back. I think there is a spirit of generosity and honesty and honor here. They gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, vintage fruit, oil, honey, and of all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. The people of Israel and Judah who lived in Judah's cities also brought the tithe of cattle and sheep and of the dedicated things which were consecrated, or we could say holy, to the Lord their God. And they laid them in what? Heaps. I have yet to ever hear of a church service where there were so much tithes and offerings and dedicated things consecrated to the Lord that they were piled up in heaps in the front of the altar. Now, I'm looking forward to that someday at some church. Maybe this church. Wouldn't that be cool? I've been in some services where there's been a spontaneous just outpouring of generosity, and there was something that people were going to give to, and people would run up and start throwing money, and then it would pile up around the guy. I've been there, and at times I almost feel uncomfortable. It almost just looks like something's not right with that, because it almost looked like you're honoring the man. Because it talks about the priest holding the basket or the servants holding the baskets and collecting it into the baskets. And we did that a couple weeks ago where we had ushers come up here and you brought it before the Lord. And perhaps we'll do that again this morning. There's nothing uncomfortable about that, because what you're doing it onto the Lord. So someone might see me. Didn't Jesus watch the little woman put the money in? So no one else watching. Don't come up here with an empty envelope and put it in there just to be seen. Okay? Dig around in your pocket, find 2 cents worth, something. 2 mites. I know someone that always talks about Kenneth Copeland's testimony. He says, I didn't have anything to give, so I tore a button off and put it in. I thank God for buttons, but I don't need any. God's looking for our heart. Amen? He says, they brought in and gave in abundance the first fruits. They brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. They brought the tithe and dedicated things and those consecrated things to the Lord, and they laid them up in heaps. It specifically connects throughout Scripture what are first fruits and what then becomes known specifically as the tithe. Now people, again, like I say, it's for some reason, and I don't know why, but people get all nervous when you start talking about the tithe. It shouldn't be a nervous situation. Deuteronomy 14 also then says, you shall surely tithe all the increase of your produce year by year, and you shall bring it before the presence of the Lord your God to the place where he has chosen to make his name known, and where he has designated as a place for holy worship. You shall bring the tithe of your increase, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Now wait a minute. So why did God start tithing? The first time the word tithe is mentioned is in this verse in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 14, look it up. In Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 and 23, depending on what translation you're reading, it says that God has chosen a place to place his name, to put his name. He has designated this place as a holy place of worship. He has called this place a place where we should bring our tithe, the first fruits of our increase. And all of that is holy. And at the end of verse 23, he gives us the reason why he's teaching the people of Israel why the tithe is so important. Because it's all connected to what? The fear of the Lord. All it does is go back to Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord. Stand in awe, in reverence. Again, the fear of the Lord is not this, oh, you know, if you don't tithe, you're going to be cursed. I've heard that side of it. That's junk. That's junk. Don't ever give or tithe out of fear. That negative fear, that fear that God is somehow or another going to be displeased and shoot lightning bolts down on you. Make your car break down on the way home. Now, that doesn't mean if your car breaks down on the way home, it wasn't because you weren't doing it. Never mind, I won't get into that. But I guarantee you this, for my wife and I know when we became tithers and just rejoiced in it, and it was always the first thing we did. As soon as I get something, anything I get increased, first thing I do is I write out a check. First thing I do is I honor the Lord with it. First thing I do is I set it aside. Because if I don't, something else will come knocking and saying, hey, you could spend it on this. If you don't set it aside, as it says, it should be set aside as quickly as possible. The first. And as soon as you set it aside and reserve it onto him, he says, I'll make sure everything else you've got is blessed. And thank God, we've had things that just last and last and last and last. You say, well, how do you know that? Because in Israel, it says they went through the desert for 40 years and our shoes hardly even wore out. That's the promise. says, if you honor God, God says, I'll take care of you. Don't worry. You know, but if you don't, you'll be buying shoes every other week. Some people like to buy shoes every other week. Anyway, I don't understand that, but the tithe and the fear of the Lord are connected. He taught them the fear of the Lord by saying, I want you to honor me with those first fruits. When you reverence me, when you stand in awe, when you bring this before my holy place, when you bring this into the holy sanctuary, when you present those first fruits into that basket before the priest, and you bring it into his presence, into God's presence, and you worship him with it. Whew. There's something about that. You're not just being a bucket plunker. You know what I mean by that? Just plunk, there goes the offering envelope into the bucket. Plunk. God used the tithe to teach his people that he was more interested in their hearts than in their money. We know from Matthew chapter 6, and we looked at this in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All he wants us to do is set aside that first fruit, that part to honor him. Again, are we all his or not? Is everything we have his or not? If I have been bought and paid for with a price, if I've been redeemed because of the precious blood of Jesus, the price that he paid to own me, to buy me out from underneath the law of sin and death, to bring me into right relationship with my Father God, the price that he paid for me to just honor him with my first fruits, that should be a no-brainer. That should be a no-brainer. People ask me about, well, how much should I give in my tithe? Well, that's a no-brainer. Tithe means 10%. Oh man, I can't do that. How about if I tithe 2%? That's not a tithe. That's a tour. That's a tooth. Alright? Leviticus 27, verse 30. Amplified again. I'm using the Amplified a lot because I think it really helps see the big picture. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe. How much? Not 2% of the tithe. Not 5% of the tithe. All. Everyone say all. All means how much? Okay. All the tithe. Whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree. It says, is what? Whose is it? Oh, it's mine. Don't you know how hard I worked for this? No, it says, all the tithe is the Lord's. It, the tithe, is holy to the Lord. Underline that last phrase there. Because when you really get established in that, when you really understand that this is all his, and he's letting us keep 90%, that's a good deal. He's letting me hold on and make decisions and be a good steward over the rest to make sure all my other needs are met. He desires for me to learn the fear of the Lord by every time I am blessed with something, every time I labor, every time I receive any kind of increase or income, I honor him with the first fruits of it. I've told this story before, but years ago, when our kids were little, we were just getting into this, and I had just started in this revelation myself. And I just started walking this, and we started to see the fruit of it. Thank God we started to see the fruit of it right away. A friend of ours came up to our son and gave him some money. I don't know what our son did. I think he helped him do something, and the guy wanted to do something. And he says, now this is a gift. I don't want you to give anything to the church on this. I don't want you to tithe off this. Fortunately, I heard that. Because the children's church director still jokes to this day about how our son used to take the money he would get and hold on to it because back in those days there was a 7-Eleven right around the corner from our house. And he would save up for Sunday afternoon and he would take a little bit of his tithe and thinking about Slurpees. He was honoring his belly. He wanted Slurpees. And so I could see it in his eyes because I think the guy gave him like $5 or something. And he's thinking, oh, that's a lot of Slurpees. And I stepped right in at the time. I was not going to let that go. I said, Eric, what does the Bible say? What do you do with that? What do you do with the first fruits of that? You honor the Lord. I mean, you still got $4.50 to blow on everything you want. Come on. Honor the Lord. Acknowledge the fact that you just got blessed. That person did not have to give that to you. And maybe God put it on his heart to give it to you. But then the devil put it on the guy's heart to tell him not to honor God. That is just dumb. That's the traditions and doctrines of men making the word of God what? Of none effect. And then we can't figure out why we're not seeing the blessing. The scripture says very clearly, all the tithe is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Now I know when I say Malachi, people are going to get nervous. But let's go there. Malachi chapter 3. Excuse me. Malachi chapter 3. You know, when you read Malachi chapter 3, you have to really read it in the context of the whole book because it's talking about God and the prophet speaking to Israel about how Israel had become so In fact, the notes on the top of my Bible says irreligious, and ingratitude. So what was God trying to get back to them? They had lost the lesson of the fear of the Lord. They had lost their understanding of honoring the Lord by this time. And so he's bringing them back into an awareness. He's bringing them back into an accountability. There's something about when you know something and you stop doing it because of need or because you kind of just get out of fellowship with God or you get angry or circumstances overtake you. But there's something about then about being coming back and being called back into that right relationship and making things right with God. And by the time you get to Malachi 3, he says, will a man rob God? And they're going, what do you mean, when did we rob you? Listen to the Amplified version here. Malachi 3 verse 8. Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me. God's speaking prophetically to the nation of Israel right now, to the most of the people that had stopped honoring the Lord, stopped being doers of the word, had started to get so caught up with themselves. And Deuteronomy warns about that. When you get into your good houses and you're making good money and you're doing all this, he says, beware lest you forget the Lord your God. And that's what they had done. And he says, but you say, in what way did we rob or defraud you? And God says, you have withheld your tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You are robbing me, even this whole nation. Now thank God that curse part, I believe, is something that we can walk away out from underneath just simply because we're in the New Testament. I can get into that later. Verse 10. Bring all. Everyone say all. All, not 2%, not 5%, not 7.3%. Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse. That's what the Amplified puts it at. Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income into the storehouse, that there may be food. King James says meat. Others say provision, supply. Everyone's got something different in their translation. In my house. And he says, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Well, I got more room, honey. Don't you? Come on. I'm still waiting so that there's so much in heaps of what God wants to bless the church with. Do you know that if the church was doing what it was commanded to do, there would not be any need for the social welfare programs in our government? So how can you say that? Because no matter how you look at the statistics, no matter who's taking the surveys, depending, it was from 3 to 8% of the body of Christ is only tithing. Less than 10% of the body of Christ is actually honoring the Lord. Another 90% of the body of Christ has been dishonoring and robbing this whole nation. Say, oh, that's terrible. Yeah, well, such were some of us. I was there. I was robbing God. And by robbing God, I was robbing people from hearing the gospel. I was robbing ministers from being able to be sent forth. If just this one Sunday, every Christian across the world decided, I am going to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all my increase. I'm going to honor the Lord with my substance. I'm going to honor the Lord with my income. I'm going to give my tithes, my offerings, and my dedicated things. That starts with the 10% with the tithe. Offering is you choose what you want to supply and what you want to support. And dedicated things, maybe there's something very specific you want to give towards. And if everybody in the body of Christ did that all on one Sunday, can you imagine the amount of money that would come in? Holy mackerel, we could pay off probably every church mortgage there is. Probably fund most missionaries for another year. We wouldn't have to have missionaries spending their hard-earned money and their hard-working money trying to go around and work up and trying to earn money so that they can go back out on the mission field and then struggle. He's correcting an error of judgment that had crept into the nation of Israel. And I believe this error in judgment has also infiltrated the church. Sadly, the church, in many cases, has not been able to fulfill its obligation to go into all the world and preach the gospel simply because there haven't been the resources. And I'm sure most of you know our heart here. We give a very specific percentage of our income as a church, and Pastor Murray and I do individually, personally. And we believe that we are blessed so that we can be a blessing. I'm not being blessed so I can buy another pair of shoes. I'm not being blessed so I can get a bigger whatever thingamajig. I don't want to have the best of the best of the best. You know, there's people the error of the prosperity gospel got to the point where we said, well, if you're driving the biggest and the best car and you've got the biggest and the best house and you're wearing the most expensive suit, you'll make even the Jews jealous and they'll come to Jesus. I don't think so. I don't think that's necessarily the right way to approach it. If I want to have them jealous of something, I want them jealous of the fact that I know God and I have the peace of God. I know the provider. I know the healer. You can't buy healing. And yet, I guarantee you, God says, I'll make all these other things just come into your life. Now, I know I've been spending all those times primarily in the Old Testament. There's a lot of things in the New Testament, but I'm just going to give you one, and you're going to think it's a play on words. But this is what the actual translation says in Romans 11, verse 16. If the dough offered as first fruits is holy. Anybody got some dough today? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. That means the rest of your paycheck is holy. That means the rest that you've got is holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. In other words, whatever you've got your roots into, whatever you've sunk your trust into, whatever you're leaning on to hold you up, when you put yourself into that and you've established yourself in the things of God, the rest of it is holy. The rest of it is God. God's involved. People are praying, oh God, won't you come? Oh God, won't you come? And he says, I'm right here. I'm already involved. And I've given you ways to open the doors of blessing into your life. But you don't want to open those doors. You're trying to sneak through some other way. Sometimes it's not about praying harder. It's about obeying God in the simplest of things. First fruits. First fruits. If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, I believe God wants to be involved and bless us all the time. Well, when should we do that? Well, I could give you all kinds of examples, but 1 Corinthians 16 makes it pretty clear. Whether you look at Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John chapter 20, Acts 20, Revelation 1, all of them say that there's a certain day called the Lord's Day, which is called the first day of the week. And then on 1 Corinthians 16, this is called Sunday in our culture, on the first day of the week, let every one of you set aside a certain sum of money, that part of your income that the Lord has blessed you with, so that when I come, a special collection will be unnecessary. Now that was just in light of an offering for missions, for the needy, for the poor. He says, on the first day of the week. See, they're already used to coming every day, every week on the first day of the week and bringing their tithes, bringing their offerings, bringing those designated things. It was so in the Jewish culture that they knew that that's what they should do. And they were bringing it over into the Christian church and saying, now on the first day of the week, on the Lord's day, I want you to be doing the same thing. 1 Corinthians 16. On the first day of the week, let every one of you set aside that sum of money, that part of your income that the Lord has blessed you with. Now, here's the interesting part. God doesn't put a dollar amount on anybody. It's a percentage. Because, you know, the guy that makes $1,000 a week and writes a check out for $100 for his tithe, the poor person would say, well, he makes $1,000. He can afford to do that. He just gave $100. That's his tithe. I only made $100 this week. I mean, I worked all week long, part-time, and that's all I could make was $100. Well, God didn't ask you to give $100. He asked to give you 10%, which is only $10. But it is a great equalizer when that guy that made $1,000 gives $100, and this guy that made $100 only gives $10. God, in his eyes, sees them both equal. It's the equalizer. Because they both, with their full heart, gave that full amount, gave that first fruit, and honored the Lord with all of their increased. All that they were increased, they honored him. Now, I know in our case, for Mary and I, there's sometimes when we haven't made a whole lot, no matter what, I still honor the Lord with my tithe. But sometimes that's the same time I make the decision, I'm going to plant towards my next harvest. And I just put in an extra 5 or an extra 20 or something. Because I determine, tithe to me is just the basics. I know I've used the illustration, people get nervous, but I'm going to use it again because I used to be an old poker player. Every Thursday night was poker night. And I used to win a lot. I used to be a good poker player. But you know what? I couldn't get into the game and win if I didn't put something in the pot. You had to ante up. Everybody had to put their dollar in first, or their $5, or their $10, depending on how much, what kind of game we were playing. And then there's people who say, well, man, I got a great hand. Yeah, but you forgot to put it in the pot. You're out. Don't wait till you get good cards to get in the game. Oh, you know, when I make a lot of money, then I'll start to tithe. Oops, wrong attitude. I guarantee you, until you start giving the Lord your first fruits and honoring the Lord your first fruits now, you may not ever get to that. Well, I'm waiting for the big ship to come in. And we're still out here in our little rowboat. Say, boy, you're being strong about this. I am not being strong about this at all. The Bible is being very specific about it. Because he loves you. He cares about you. He wants you to be blessed. I mean, if you read Philippians chapter 4, where Paul talks about it, he says, I want you to be blessed. He says, it's not about me receiving a gift. It's about you being blessed. And even there in Philippians chapter 4, where he says, I have received this wonderful sacrifice, this sweet-smelling aroma, that is all in reference to them in the Old Testament about something that was a sacrifice that was holy and acceptable unto God. He attaches that holiness to their giving right there in that imagery, in that picture. And we miss it because we don't know that culture. We don't know those practices. He says, oh, that's a sweet-smelling sacrament. Oh, that's so wonderful aroma in God's sight. He says, you know what you've just done? You've just worshiped the Lord. You've just brought something holy and acceptable to Him. And they're going, wow. We just met Paul's need, but God was very pleased. It's so important to understand that these first fruits and these tithes are holy, become as something we honor the Lord with. We bring it, we present it to Him. That whole lump then becomes blessed. All the branches and the fruit on it become blessed because our roots are in Him, because we have honored Him. Let's read Proverbs 3 again. Let's wrap it up with this. Proverbs 3, verse 9, amplified. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors and with the first fruits of all your income. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats, your purses, your wallets, your checking accounts, your refrigerator, however you want to apply it, shall be overflowing. There's a conditional if here. I shared last week and the week before about putting God first. Today, God is first. And when we put God first, it's easy to honor Him with our first fruits. It's easy to not even think about it. Like, oh, I'm sacrificing. I'm giving up so much. No, I've been blessed with so much. I've been blessed with so much. I am a blessed man. You are a blessed person. Why? Because God has already set up a covenant relationship with you and says, when you do this, you're opening up those windows of heaven. You're opening up those doors of opportunity. You're opening something up, He says, so that I can start to pour in so much blessing, there won't even seem to be enough room to receive it. But do I have faith for that? Do I trust Him for that? Do I really believe that? Or do I think, oh, I'll take care of it all myself? I've got it all under control. Now, he gave us these principles to teach us to fear the Lord. If you love Him, you'll obey Him. Obedience and love are connected directly to the fear of the Lord. Father, we just thank You. There's so many other scriptures we could look at, so many things we could touch on. Father, I pray for every person here. If they, in their heart or in their mind, were struggling, I thank You, Lord, that You encourage them, that You comfort them. You help them renew their mind to the truth of the Scriptures. Our natural man might resist these truths because our natural man has a tendency to be self-sufficient, to be self-ish. But we want to be God-conscious, not self-conscious. We want to put You first in everything we do. I pray, Father, that there's those here that they're in their mind, I don't know how I can afford to do that. Father, help them understand they can't afford not to honor You. That is the one door that the enemy has kept them locked behind. There's something about unlocking that door. There's something about taking the key of truth, putting it in that lock, turning that key with obedience, and stepping through that door into that place of blessing. Father, it's not about getting. It's not about me getting more stuff. It's not about me seeing more stuff or more money. It's about me having more of You and understanding and receiving more of You. Because where I put my treasure, my heart will go. And when I put my treasure and honor You, when I put my treasure into the things of You, more of You will be revealed. More of You will be opened up to us. So, Father, I thank You that You're the author and the finisher of our faith. Right now, I pray for every person here who has struggled with this, who has held back, who has felt that they can't even consider it. They've felt hindered by it. I take authority over that lie. I take authority over that fear. I take authority over that lack mentality. And I thank you right now, you are the author and the finisher of their faith. That right now the truth, the word, the scripture after scripture after scripture, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that we are going to honor you with our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings, our designation. They all belong to you. We belong to you. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Thank you, Father, that you give them the faith to trust you. Give them the faith. You are the author and the finisher of their beliefs, of their persuasion, of them being able to trust you with their whole heart and with all that they have and all that they are. That there's a breakthrough today for every single one of us. There's a breakthrough today, Father, because we will honor you. There's a breakthrough today, Father, because we trust you. That this is a year of a fresh start. First things first, clean slate, a fresh start. That it be our goal this year to be out of debt. That it be our goal this year to be in a place to sow and reap wherever you tell us to sow and reap. Not be hindered by the fact that we can't because it's obligated or designated somewhere else or under obligation to something else. We thank you, Father. We can start to see our obligations eliminated and our only heart and obligation is towards you. We thank you, Father. Thank you that you lead us and guide us in this truth. We have an abundance and no lack. That isn't a slogan, that's your promise. That's a word from heaven. We have an abundance and no lack because we honor you and worship you and know what is yours and what you blessed us with. That the whole lump, all of us, everything we have is holy unto you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen.